Hey, Ideal Protein Nation, otherwise known as Ideal Protein Transform Nation 24. Let's go. Hey, I'm back. Did you miss me? I don't know. I keep taking these breaks, but I'm super motivated. I'm super excited about what we got going on today. And I've got quite a few shows in the hopper now. So very excited to bring you these guests. But I feel like I need to reintroduce the show and reintroduce myself because it's been so long since we've had a full episode. So welcome to the Life Possible podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John Barnes. I created the Life Possible podcast during the pandemic because the stories weren't getting told. And as Dr. Tran used to say, every pound has a story and every story deserves to be told. And so I designed that Life Possible podcast to spotlight successful clients, coaches, and clinic owners who have used the Ideal Protein program to reset their body, reset their mind, and actually reset what's possible for their lives. These people are living lives that they're chasing goals and dreams that they thought were dead and gone. In some cases, they're chasing goals and dreams they never even knew they had. In short, they're pursuing what we like to refer to as life possible. Why am I doing this? Like, who am I and what am I doing here? Well, I tell you what, there's no easy way to put it. But back in 2015, I found myself fat, sick, and depressed. And what's worse is I didn't see a way out. I had ruined my metabolism, my metabolic health. I had gained more weight than ever. And I had no idea what I had done because I couldn't lose the weight. And I truly believe that God brought me the Ideal Protein program, not only as the answer to a lot of my personal prayers, but also professional prayers. Now, I'm living a life that I feel like is healthy, vibrant, and alive. Back in 2021, I was able to complete my first half Ironman distance triathlon at the age of 54. I never, ever dreamed I'd be able to do that in that first picture. So who do I have for you today? I tell you what, we've got a treat. We have Allison Dozar. Allison is a successful client, coach, and clinic owner at MBS Wellness in Longmont, Colorado. She is a breath of fresh air. She's got so much energy and enthusiasm. And I can't wait to bring her message to you today. She's been featured. The very first episode she was on was episode 47, which was actually a two-part series where one of her clients, Jessica, was able to achieve a life possible goal of skydiving that she was not previously able to do because of her weight. So Allison, of course, and her co-owner at MBS Wellness, Jennifer, they jumped right in and said, hey, we're going to jump with you. It was an amazing story. If you have not seen it yet, go back and watch both episodes because literally just some of the most amazing stuff came out of there. But then also my friendship with Allison came out of there. And I'm super excited to share her story again. Let us bring Allison. Where are you? Hey!
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, girl?
I'm so good. I just get so pumped up when I listen to the intro of this show. Like every time I'm just like, woo! It's so exciting. It just makes me feel alive. So thank you.
Oh, for man, that makes me feel so good. You know, and I picked that music 3 years ago when I started doing this, and I just thought, man, I think that's got like the inspiration in it. And, yeah. You know, and I was thinking about it today when I was putting together your graphics for the show. And I was remembering back to when I had you ladies on the show. And what's funny is it wasn't actually my idea in the first place. Whose idea was it?
Wait, which one?
It was your idea.
Oh, the show.
Yeah, when we had Jessica, when you brought Jessica's story to me and you're like, hey, we need to be on this show.
Yeah. I actually planned the whole thing around being on the show.
Right?
Yeah. Which is cool because it goes to show you when you put your mind to something, like usually the universe, I love this notion, like the universe will conspire to make it happen for you, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so, okay, we're going to jump out the airplane and then we're going to talk to John about it on the Life Possible podcast.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
When I was listening to the intro, it's pretty crazy that this is episode 70 And that was 47.
Seriously, it's flown by. I can't even believe.
Yeah, congrats to you. That's impressive.
Thank you. Life Possible podcast turned 70 today.
Happy birthday.
Hey, so I brought you on the show because of conversations that we had had about something that you are implementing in your office at MBS Wellness. Again, I'm just in awe of you ladies and the most amazing clinic that you have developed and the different things that you bring in for your clients to really help with their Life Possible Ideal Protein experience. Because as we've kind of talked about, this is just a little bit more than losing weight, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, it is a journey towards a full life transformation.
Yeah, it is.
I always say, like, I'm pretty much a broken record when it comes to this, but weight loss is usually just the byproduct of this journey to the self.
Absolutely. You know, and we kind of talked about it. We had a fun little show on Friday, an encore episode with Wendy White Stevens, yeah. Which really is what kind of spawned this second full-blown conversation that we're having today. I just want to reach back just real briefly.
Okay.
You did Ideal Protein how many years ago the first time?
The first time I did it was 2013.
Okay.
A while ago. 11 years? Wow.
I can't even believe that. You did that when you were like, what, 12?
Yeah, I think I was 7 years old.
Yeah. And so, again, being a successful client, right?
Uh-huh.
And you used it. You had heard about it from your mom. Your mom was successful doing it. You had no idea what she was doing. And your mom, already healthy and fit, all of a sudden looked even healthier and fitter.
Right.
And so you decided to do it and had a very similar experience. Yes.
Yep. Had a great experience with it. And then fast forward to 2019, started coaching it. And in 2022, Jennifer Couch, my business partner, and I, we went independent with our clinic and we opened MBS Wellness. And here we are today. Talking about just growth, our own growth, but also the growth of the clinic. And it's been really cool to see just the evolution of the journey. Again, just starting with wanting to get healthier or wanting to lose a little bit of weight. And then it's like, oh, wow, I did not even know what was in store.
Right. It opens up a whole new world.
Oh, it opens up a whole new world and a whole new world for, you know, as far as business goes, but even the relationships and the friendships that have come out of this program, it's people that I hope to stay connected to for the rest of my life. So I really just have so much gratitude in my heart for Ideal Protein for so many reasons.
Yeah, it's hard to get past all that stuff. And that's why I call it Ideal Protein Nation, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Because literally this is a community, not just in North America, United States and Canada. We do have friends and family, so to speak, all around the world.
Yeah.
And you really do get to feel like you're part of this one big thing. And so again, since the show, since we had that episode 47, I've been friends with you ladies on Facebook. I've been following you all along. I've told you before, but I'll say it again. I get the biggest kick, out of your life. you perform music. You're absolutely amazing in front of audiences. You never miss a chance to do a handstand and a yoga pose in the most crazy of places. And you live in the present. I kind of feel like if there's anybody that I know who has the ability to live in the present moment, it's you.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. You know, with life, I really just try to do exactly that. Stay in the present, because that's where life is happening. And right. Have fun. I think what I'm realizing the older I get is, you know, sometimes we can get so swallowed up with the amount of work that needs to be done. But we just have to really turn it into play and feel the things that we need to feel, still do really hard things, but have a good time doing it, you know, what's the point? If we've got to be like, just, man, life is so short and things happen all the time. I was recently talking to a friend who lost one of their really good friends in this freak accident. And it just reminds you, you have to stay alive. You have to stay zesty because you never know what's around the corner, you know? So I really try. And I will say it is, it's an honest effort every day to just kind of take life by the horns and live it as full as I can. So thank you for following along. I know sometimes it seems crazy and sometimes I'm a total weirdo, but I'm having fun. So I hope you are too. And it looks like you are.
100%. However, you're not at that level yet. However, you know what? We just created a new t-shirt. Stay zesty.
So actually, I co-facilitated a retreat in Jamaica, and that t-shirt might already be made.
Oh, okay. I'm telling you,
this group of humans, we are just so zesty. So that's where that came from. Team Zest.
I love it. So, I absolutely love it.
It's a good vibe.
So another part of your spirit is not just being in the present moment. But also, can you tell us about ABC? What does ABC mean to you?
So ABC means always be curious. And actually that came from Teen Zest too. you know, we've got to remain curious about things. In the last episode, we talked about when things happen, sometimes in the present moment, they seem like bad luck or they seem like misfortune, or they seem like, you know, it's the best thing ever. And if we get too attached to those outcomes or to what the present moment can be, we just create suffering. So being curious about you know, what's going to come next, or being curious even about certain feelings or certain successes or failures, I try to kind of live in that space to just keep things coming along. You know?
Yeah. I love that story that you shared, and I'm going to tell people to go to that Encore episode so that you can hear the story of the Chinese farmer that you shared, and perhaps they'll enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah. Please go check it out. So in the spirit of being curious, Jen and I really try to also stay curious with our clinic and with our clients and always keep up with continuing education. You know, science has like come so far in a short time. And so just continuing to listen to podcasts and read books and stay open-minded, listen to conversations, like anywhere that we think like, oh, I have a client with that similar experience, or, you know, even if it's just someone that we're talking to in the grocery store, like we're very interested in being open-minded so that we can help our clients and then help ourselves. When we were preparing for this podcast, I was looking back on some of just like my old journal entries and old writings, and something that had popped up in there was the quickest way to help yourself is to do it through helping someone else. And I just love that, you know? And so I think by Jen and I remaining curious, we're always trying to push ourselves to be our best, highest self. And we can do that, fortunately, while helping other people out. And like, come on, that's I'm living for, you know?
And it's the joy of
that whole thing.
It's the joy of being the Ideal Protein Coach. That's what we get to do. We get to do it multiple times in a day. It's overcoming something ourselves and then turning around to help as many people do the same. Right?
Yeah. And then vice versa, right? Like there's plenty of times where a client's going through something and they leave and I am just like almost in disbelief. I'm like, wow, I'm so grateful for this moment because I learned so much in this moment about myself as well. And now they're walking out my door. I did a post before, a client was walking out my door and they just had their fist in the air.
Yeah, right.
Excited. And I was like, after they did it, like as soon as they walked out, I put my fist in the air. Like, what movie was that? Was it 16 Candles? sandals are.
Okay, you're reaching back. I don't even know that that was part of your era.
No, I can't remember. I can't remember, but you know what I'm talking about. That like
yeah, I know what plastic you're talking about. Scene
with yep. just a hand in the air.
Yeah.
So, we try to just remain really open and curious to the lesson in either the success or the failure or even just the experience, you know, dig a little deeper.
Well, you know, I find that one of the biggest frustrations we have mm-hmm. is seeing the client in front of us, seeing their possibility and their potential inside of them and just not being able to connect and get it out of them. Right. Yeah. And just looking for ways, what is the right thing that I need to say? What is the right approach to go about this? How can I get more of them out of them, so to speak, right? Yeah. You can see something's holding them back. There's that one quote, why do you stay in a prison when the door's wide open? Mm-hmm. I kind of feel that so often. And I think you ladies have stumbled into an amazing tool, an amazing approach that might really be able to unlock some doors for people. Can you tell us about what you're doing?
Yeah. So for about a year now, a little bit over a year, Jen and I started to study hypnotherapy to help people kind of break through some limited beliefs that they've had and that we all just create as we're growing up and experiencing life. And for a while, sometimes these beliefs, and a belief is just a thought that you think over and over again, but sometimes these beliefs really protect us. And so they're there for a reason, but then we outgrow them. And so hypnotherapy is a healing modality and a technique that is non-invasive that we started to use to really bring our gift to the world. And I love how you said that. You said that you just, you know, as coaches, I believe that we have a gift in the way that we see the world and the perspective that we offer. And I truly, truly believe that Jen and I's gift to the world is to allow the time and create a space that will give people the insight to like what we see, the potential we see when we meet with our clients.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have found through this therapeutic technique, a chance to give the client a glimpse of like their own magnificence almost, you know,
wow.
And we are so humbled. Like we want to share this with whoever is interested. So we started, I think it was around last May when I was certified for clinical hypnosis. And I just want to say like, so hypnosis and hypnotherapy are the same thing, but if you're a licensed therapist, then you can be a hypnotherapist. If you're not an actual licensed therapist in the state that you live in, you're just a clinical hypnotist.
Okay.
And so we are both clinical hypnotists. So I was certified in May. And then shortly after, once we started to really look at the practice and get feedback from clients, it was just a no-brainer for Jen to kind of follow along.
Okay.
And so, yeah, now that we've been doing that for about a year, I've probably, you know, worked with over 100 clients. I've done a group hypnosis where we've, in Jamaica, I was able to hypnotize, I think like 30 or so people at one time. And so offer it on a broader experience, mm-hmm. Work with clients in person. And then the really, really fantastic thing about this modality is that, you know, after COVID opened a lot of doors for us, with a virtual experience. Mm-hmm. Now we can offer this virtually. So in the comfort of someone's own home, which is really cool because they have that comfortable element already of, you know, where they're not coming into a place maybe that they've never been before in an environment they've never seen before. So that's been really interesting to work with too. So I'm so happy we found hypnotherapy and hypnosis, and I'm just excited to be on the show and talk about how it works, how we think it can help, and how I found it, or shall I say how it found me?
Oh, there you go. There's a twist.
Yeah. So can I tell you?
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay. So And I say it found me because if you would have told Jen and I, even if you would have told us 2 years ago when we opened the business that we would be helping people heal through subconscious programming, we would have probably like never believed you. You know?
Yeah, right? Right? That sounds a little deep.
Right? It does. And so we were being curious one day and there was some workshop that came online that I saw about working with our limited beliefs.
Oh.
So I sat through it and it was probably 2 hours long. You know, it was just something short, free. It was like one of these free little workshops that like people try to get you to buy the course. And I was really interested in the course, but I was just like kind of taking in the science, looking at the application. And later that day I was home and my mother, who I'm from Louisiana, so she was digitizing all of our home videos.
Okay.
Because you know, my mom used to just around.
She had the camcorder. Yeah.
Camcorder. And we were camcorder kids. We were just always like, film this, like do this. We were doing plays and stuff. Very theatrical. So my mom sends these videos and I was just like looking at this younger version of myself, you know, this 6-year-old kid, this 8-year-old kid, this 3-year-old kid. And I just like kind of had this moment of like, wow, like that little kid is still inside of me. And I want to like honor that part of me and like get in touch with that part of me. And then I just started to think about the space between being a young child and how much life and how many experiences we had between that and where I am now, and wondering, I wonder what are my limiting beliefs? Or what are the beliefs that I have that are propelling me and pushing me forward so that I can like spend more time in those lanes and not get too caught up on things of the past that like maybe I have some of those beliefs that aren't serving me. And so I started to kind of dig into that, that whole notion around self-limiting beliefs. And I found some self-hypnosis podcast and kind of just started to listen to self-hypnosis. And I really did feel a difference. You know, it was these short, well, I listened to like a few modules on hypnosis just to, again, kind of understand the science behind it. Cause I'm just sciencey like that. And I like to understand what's actually happening in my brain. And so I started to listen to those podcasts and I did feel a difference. And if anything, I just, you know, it wasn't like, I want to stop. I want to floss my teeth more. And I started listening to these podcasts and started flossing my teeth more. Like it wasn't that kind of different. You know, it was more of a difference on how I felt and kind of like the peace within about my choices. I just felt like I was taking more charge of my life. And
so it sounds to me like the things, the phrases I'm pulling out of there are self-limiting beliefs. Right. Mm-hmm. And I love that my choices. Right. Mm-hmm. And how both of those things might be happening inside there.
Yeah.
Whether they're limiting you or whether they're actually propelling you forward, because there are two lanes, right?
Yeah. No, there's totally. And so that'll take us into like the two parts of our mind that create our behaviors and our personalities are basically those beliefs, right? And then like the choices, which is going to be more the conscious mind. And let's get into that. But what I wanted to say real quick was I did this one self-hypnosis and I'm telling you, I came out and it kind of always feels like a little bit of a nap. It's just like creating this space. I love the quote, between stimulus and response is a space. And in that space lies our freedom to choose. And in that choice lies our freedom or something similar to that. And I tell you, I woke up from that session and I was like, this is powerful stuff. Maybe I'm supposed to help people. Like maybe I'm supposed to learn more about hypnosis and hypnotherapy. And maybe this is something that can help my clients. Like, I'm going to dig into it because, and from that moment, I just like didn't look back with it.
Yeah.
You know, I just fall. I've been, and for years I've been following these just tiny whispers and like creating enough, you know, spending some time in that space between stimulus and response, which I think that space is really important. And that's what we do in hypnosis is create that space. But that space for myself allowed me to really listen to my own inner guidance and listen to my own intuition. And out of that bloomed, let's do this. Let's see who we can help with it. And so that is when I decided to, okay, I'm signing up for this certification. There happened to be an institute in Boulder. I had a really fantastic experience with them. It was a 100-hour course and we just kind of took it from there. And then it just continued to bloom. And Jen and I will both continue our education and continue to be certified in type two and advanced. And it's just really, really fascinating to see it. So yeah, let's talk about some theory and some science. Are you interested?
Yeah, you know, I love to geek out over the science. And so when we had this initial conversation a couple of weeks ago, I was like, wait, what? Yeah. There's like the neural pathways and wow. Like now you're talking my language.
Yeah. I'm really glad we got to sit down and have that conversation because there's so just many myths and there's so many preconceived notions about hypnosis. And when we look at the science of things, it kind of breaks it down and we're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Well, and I kind of want to shift gears from the outline a little bit. I feel like we need to do that at this point. So we had this conversation, right? And you suggested that maybe I might want to do a hypnotherapy session, right? And I was like, absolutely, let's go, I'm game. And so we got on Zoom and we did it. You pulled out your pocket watch and you said you're right. Getting very sleepy, right? I'm like, I knew it. It's all hocus pocus, right? No, it's absolutely not, right? And I really feel like now is the time to really just say, look, this is not hocus pocus stuff. This is not smoke and mirrors. This is nothing, right?
No, exactly. So what it is, it's no pocket watches involved at all. And so where that came from is stage hypnosis, which is completely different from clinical hypnosis. So what we do with clinical hypnosis, like just a really short, is we're really just mixing intense focus with intense relaxation. So in order for our brain to learn something, we have to be focused on it. And then it has to be followed up by a time of like really complete relaxation for it to sink in, for lack of better words. And so that's what we're doing. We're just getting our nervous systems extremely calm. And what that allows us to do is look at things from a different perspective. And we call that, some people, it used to be called suggestibility. But with more science that are coming out, and they've been studying this for decades now, it's called cognitive flexibility. So in the same way where we work with metabolic flexibility to burn fat sometimes and burn glucose sometimes, like the cognitive flexibility, when we're really relaxed, there's something that happens in our brains that allows us to look at things in this kind of a different perspective or a non-judgmental way. But that's where the whole you're getting sleepy comes from. So let's demystify it. Can we talk about a few myths?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's talk about a few myths. So the first one that always comes up is that hypnotherapy is mind control. And like I just said, it's actually the complete opposite. It's actually us getting calm enough and we have more control over our mind because we're not so attached to either these beliefs, which were those thoughts that we think over and over again, or attached to certain outcomes or just having like an emotional response. So hypnosis is not mind control. Another thing Jen and I always say is that, and you can attest to this, when you're in the session, you never lose consciousness. right? Nope. And if you needed to go to the bathroom, or if you didn't understand something that I would say, or if someone would knock on your door, you would be able to completely hear that knock, go up, answer the door, talk to them, have a normal conversation, and then just come back and sit down, and we would just continue our conversation. So that's the first one. Any questions on that?
No. Like I said, I've experienced it. I've been through it. I think if someone knocked on my door, I'd be really angry and I wouldn't go talk to them. But
right. You'd be like,
come on, you're ruining my state here. Come on.
Right. The next one is that hypnosis is magic or it's dangerous. So I will say, I think it's magical because it's just such a beautiful experience. We say it's like a soul hug for yourself, but what people mean by magical here, mystical, it's not magical at all. It's just the hypnotic state is a very natural state. And when you're watching a movie and you're really tuned into it and things are happening around you and you're not paying attention, you're actually in that hypnotic state. Yeah, okay. When you're daydreaming, like we are in and out of hypnotic state all throughout the day. So it's just a completely natural state. And it's when our brain waves, we're just like in the theta brainwave state, which is like right before sleep. So it's just us, anytime we're creative or using our imagination, like we're in a hypnotic state. It's not dangerous at all because it's just super non-invasive. We're really just connecting with our bodies and in a way having a conversation with our emotional reaction. Next one is people think that hypnosis can erase memories and it can't. It just can't. We can have access to memories because we have more access to long-term memory when we are in hypnosis, but you can recall memories, but you can absolutely not erase them. And I don't have any science to explain that, but maybe I'll follow up on that, but it's really not possible.
Okay.
And then two more. One is that hypnosis is only effective for certain people. And some people are more highly hypnotized and they have some tests that we can look at for that to see if people are more that are easily put into a hypnotic state than others. But really anyone who is willing to participate and relax their nervous system can do this, you know. From your experience, it wasn't any, you know, you didn't have to have like a certain IQ or like have certain traumatic things or non-traumatic things happen to you in your life. Like you just needed the ability to have a quiet space to do it in and relaxed, right? Would you say that was your experience?
Yeah. Well, and I would also say have a willingness to relax, you know, I mean, that's kind of and that was the one experience that we kind of talked about afterwards. Like, I actually didn't know how tense I was until I actually got relaxed, right? I mean, to a certain degree, sitting at this desk, like this is where I spend most of my day. And sometimes I'll just catch myself, like I've got my shoulders up around my ears and I'm just kind of, you know, zoned in on the computer and everything. And really it was a totally different, I was like, wow, I can't remember when I actually felt this relaxed. Yeah.
Yeah. So that willingness is all you need.
Right. I think that's the prerequisite for sure.
It is because, and what's interesting, I was looking up how to work with the unwillingness, and you can actually hypnotize people about their unwillingness. And
well, there you go.
Right. And it's just about kind of breaking away the walls that we create. And we have to remember, we talked about this in the last podcast, a lot of the things that we do it to protect ourselves, you know?
And I was just going to say that. Yep. I was going to say at some point we felt like we needed to protect ourselves. And like you said, those beliefs, those practices, those whatever's attitudes protected us, but they might not be serving us anymore.
Right. And there's a certain level of that. Like skepticism is really healthy. You know, we can't just walk around, especially in the world we live in, just like believing everybody and being extremely naive and gullible all the time. So I think it's healthy. And then the last one is that hypnosis is like snake oil or it's not supported by science. And so there's plenty of science out there, especially in the last two decades, on using hypnotherapy to help people really achieve goals. I think, and forgive me, I should know this, but I know with substance abuse and with smoking, like particularly smoking, I think like the success rate was close to like 80%. And again, don't quote me on that exact number, but it's really high after six sessions. And we see a lot of people who are trying to quit smoking, and understanding is so healing. And sometimes it's just understanding this piece of ourselves that decreases the suffering and that lets us kind of let go of the resistance around, like we're not fighting ourselves anymore. It's so interesting because it's so close to the struggle and the fight that we have with our blood sugar when we're trying to lose weight. You know, if we're constantly fighting the blood sugar, it makes it really hard because we're always experiencing these cravings and this hunger. And so we're thinking, what's wrong with us? It's no different with these limiting beliefs. If we're always going against the grain, it feels impossible. And so what hypnosis allows us to do, and I love this analogy, is like, and it's springtime, so this is a great springtime analogy, is when you're in the garden weeding, and our critical thinking and cognitive behavior therapy, or just like, we'll just call it talk therapy, would be like us processing and going in and weeding and just cutting the weed at the soil. We're doing with subconscious reprogramming and hypnotherapy is we're going into the root and we're pulling the weed from the root, and then we replace it with whatever, you know, pretty flower you like. I like sunflowers, so that's what I'll probably put in there. Or hey, maybe I'll plant an artichoke.
I will point you back to the encore episode for the artichoke.
Exactly. If you don't understand that, check out that episode.
That is so powerful, right? And again, it's the difference between just trying to change superficial behaviors and actually getting to the root cause inside, right? We talk about we talk about in this program, resetting your body, resetting your mind, and resetting what's possible for your life, right?
Yeah.
And if we don't reset that mind, all we're doing is changing behaviors, like you said, cutting the weed at the top, but not getting into that root.
Yep. And the most important part, at least, well, we don't have to compare most important, but when we look at phase with Ideal Protein being this three-phase program, and the first part is a lot of doing and like us, you know, fixing our metabolism and fixing the insulin insensitivities. And then that second part of stabilization. But then when we get into this maintenance, like that's where this gets really important.
Yeah.
Because those, again, a belief is just a thought that we think over and over again. And so we might be all jazzed about this new body and these new genes we have. And then life hits. And one of those old beliefs come creeping back in because, you know, I'm 37 years old. So I might have been believing this one thing for the last 30 years. And then something triggers that belief. Something in my life now triggers that belief. And it's like, oh no, you know, all of a sudden I can't control. And so I'm thinking that I'm self-sabotaging. And there's just all of these stories that we start to create around these beliefs. And so if we can go in, change the belief, we're just operating from a completely different space. And it makes life a whole lot easier because we also, I think it builds compassion and it helps us understand, oh, like, you know, I was just a 7-year-old. Of course that meant that to me then.
Yeah, right.
It's so fascinating. So let's talk a little bit about science of this and just like things that are happening that allow us to, I guess, gain this perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
The first piece of this is understanding the conscious and the subconscious mind. And basically I love the analogy of the iceberg. So our conscious mind is what we can see. So our conscious mind is, it's our logical mind. It's what receives information from our five senses. Right. And then that's 10%. So that's where our willpower lives, our short-term memory, our logical thinking, our critical thinking. But if in our subconscious mind, that's 90% of all of our processing and the storage of this information. That's where all of that's held. So it also holds our beliefs, important, right? Our emotions, yep. our habits, yep. values, these protective reactions that we have that again served us for a little bit. So it doesn't mean that anything's wrong with us. It just means that maybe they're no longer serving us. And then this is hugely important, our long-term memory. And then it's also where our imagination lives. And then that piece of ourselves that I was speaking to earlier that guided me to this practice is where our intuition lives. And as health coaches, and this was like one of the first things that I learned when I was studying how to be a fantastic health coach, it's like we don't have the answers as coaches. We are trained to guide our clients to themselves, you know, and I want all the clients and dieters and anyone out there listening to like really just listen to this for a second. No one has the answers but you. They might have some education and they might have some information, but really what we're doing as coaches, if we're doing our jobs correctly, is we are giving you the information and the tools to go inside and shine a light on what you know about your experience, because you are the expert in your experience. And then also like what you know about what needs to be done to get to your goals, because you're the only person who can create and then achieve those goals through, and in coaching, we just call it creating our realizing and actualizing that intrinsic motivation, right? So back to conscious versus subconscious. So we talked about the iceberg. So if 90% of our thoughts and our beliefs and emotions are coming from the subconscious mind, I think the science here is, as humans daily, do you know how many thoughts we think daily?
Oh, you know what? Darn it. I saw this the other day and it's
wild.
It's mind blowing.
It's kind of like disturbing because you're just like, oh man, 60,000 thoughts a day.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So we think 60,000 thoughts a day. Now, how many of those thoughts do you think are the same every day? And there, I'll give you a hint. It's on the page.
Oh, wait,
not the page. Whoa. On the iceberg.
Oh, hang on. I can't say. Oh. 90%.
Right. Y'all. So 90. Right. Yes. 90. Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, you know, I really feel it's like okay. You need to be running. You're running. You should be running the show. I'm so rusty.
Right. Okay. So if 90% of our thoughts are the same.
90%.
Right. 90% of our thoughts are the same every day. So if thoughts lead to choices and choices lead to behavior and behavior leads to experience that creates emotion and then emotion leads to thoughts. Like, I know that's a crazy train to follow, but you can see how important it is to really uncover some of these subconscious thoughts that we have.
I need you to say that again, because and I'm going to have to write it down. Like, I'm going to slow down the tape so I can actually do this, but say that again.
Okay,
if again. Thoughts lead to.
Well, the first piece is that thoughts are really at the beginning of this emotional cycle that creates our life and our personality really. Okay. So thoughts lead to a choice. That choice leads to a behavior, which then leads to our experience, which creates an emotion. And then with our emotion, we create more thoughts. So it really just creates this cycle, right? Which is why it is so important to uncover thoughts that aren't serving us. So my favorite quote, one of my favorite quotes, and this was like right when I started studying self-hypnosis, I heard this quote, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate."
Right.
Right. And so that's what we're trying to do now is bring this gift, this modality, this practice, if we just want to call it a practice of uncovering what is unconscious to us, look at it with these strong, wise adult eyes and this perception of bring it to consciousness, and so that we can, we don't have to just stuck in this fate, but we can like make our own choices and find our freedom in that.
I literally need to sit here quiet for a second.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cause again, I'm here with a client. I can see it. And I love how, you know, again, it's me. I mean, we all have these tendencies, but we just can't get out of our own way. Right. Yeah. It's that client that can't get out of their own way, but they can't see it. They don't know why. They don't know what that is. Right. And it's in their subconscious.
Yep. And, right? And we don't even, it's not something that we even are aware of, you know?
Yeah.
And with certain mindfulness practice, we can be a little bit more aware of it, because like in meditation, the same things that are actually happening in our brains happen in this hypnotherapy session. A lot of this stuff, we don't even realize where it came from or what it is. And Jen and I have conversations after these sessions, because we usually use, I like to call it like a window. So if I'm working with a client and they say, you know, I want to, it's been really hard for me because I've been binge eating. And so I want to look at, like, let's do a hypno session on binge eating. And like binge eating is just the behavior that we use as a window to the actual, like binge eating becomes the symptom at that point. And so when we go deeper, it's usually
behavior in that cycle, you're going to say that's the behavior, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So we tap in from that behavior. We actually kind of work down from that cycle and we go into the emotion, and then we find out what is the thought or what is the belief that is creating that emotion that then creates that behavior. So yeah, it kind of is working backwards through that cycle. And it's interesting because it's usually not related at all. Like the behavior of binge eating, it usually didn't start with food at all.
No, right. Right? No. Nope.
And so, yeah, it just gives us like these magical glasses or something, if you will. And we look at things very differently, and then we ditch that old thought, and we create new neural pathways. It's just new beliefs. And the more we practice believing those new beliefs, the easier it is to change the behavior.
I love it. So often. And it's like I also talked about with people, like if you read a book,
right?
The book talks of, it's a self-help book, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of touches, like I've seen this cycle, or I've heard at least, you know, one third of the cycle or half of the cycle before, right? Mm-hmm. I love how complete this is. And I love, it's so helpful.
Yeah. It is, has been quite the journey of practicing it and just learning from, I think, like, okay, so obviously that is the big takeaway, is being able to change the beliefs which we operate from. Another huge, huge benefit of this, and we've talked a little bit about it, is just this relaxation piece.
Yeah.
How I would say that most of the feedback right after sessions are people, they even look taller when they walk out of the office because they just have this weight lifted off of them. And it's just because it's 2024. I bet if we ask any one of our clients to like share their to-do list with this, it looks like the old like CVS receipts that just like, right.
scrolls
of things to do. And so this practice provides people with, and it's not much. I mean, look, we got 24 hours in a day and we got plenty to do, but it like offers that space of just quieting the nervous system.
Yeah.
And due to the misconception around hypnotherapy and hypnosis, you know, we've even thought about calling this practice just a nervous system reset.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it really is just working with the vagus nerve to which communicates to every different part of our body. And it just quiets everything down for a little bit to allow us the space and the time and the opportunity to sit with ourselves. And when you sit with yourself, then you see that part of yourself that's so perfect, exactly how you are, and innocent. And you really like look at yourself and you're like, oh man, I'm just doing the best that I can with what I got right now. Once you let go of that pressure, everything kind of changes, and then you can like go about your business and actually get a lot of things done. Right? So yeah, let's talk about a few benefits of hypnotherapy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So for those of you guys who can see this, you can see on here, we just have a few. But really, you can work on anything with our clients. Some of the things that people have, or let's say these limiting beliefs that they have.
So
you're not allowed to say this in our office, or you can at least say it one time and then we'll explain to you why. But like a very simple one, which is just blasphemy, is I'm fat, you know, because a lot of hypnosis, you can imagine with these limiting beliefs, it creates our identity.
Yep.
Right. And so if that is your truth, then no matter what protocol you do, and we can help you lose 100 pounds. We could help you lose 100 pounds 5 different times. But if that is what you believe, that I am fat, you will always go back to that belief. And these are just a few, like we just kind of like handpick some of these. I'm an emotional eater would be one. We've worked with people that are just really stressed. I'm stressed. And if the story is you're stressed, guess what you're going to be?
Right.
You're going to be stressed.
And I think all those statements, and as I'm looking at them on our outline, et cetera, mm-hmm. all those statements begin with I am, right? Exactly. I'm, right? Which is an identity. Yeah. And I all the time I'll correct people and say, no, you're not an emotional eater. You engage in emotional eating, right? Mm-hmm. That's a behavior, but don't take that on as your identity. Because just like you said, you'll never let it go. And I love, because this is a theme that's been coming up in my reading and my podcasts, et cetera. But the whole concept of you can use this modality to change your identity, right? If you are identifying as I am this, mm-hmm. you can use this modality to take that thought and replace that thought, right?
That's exactly what it is.
That's so powerful.
It's so powerful. And some of the client successes that we've seen, it's so freeing to like pick what you want to be, you know,
right.
All of these beliefs were given to us through experience. Right. And so most of this crap that we carry around with us, like isn't ours even to begin with.
Yeah. Right.
And so this is just such a beautiful chance, not only for people to relax, people to spend some time with themselves, which is so important, but then also for people to choose, what do I want?
Yep.
You know? And I say it's a dangerous spot to be in just because you can transform your life into anything. Nothing is impossible when you are in that space of what do I want? You know, another huge one we see that I think is worth mentioning, because I feel like most of us live here, is I'm stuck. You know, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. how many times have you heard I'm stuck?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If you're feeling stuck, which is a very valid and normal feeling. Mm-hmm. You guys, that's a check engine light. Like you don't have to feel that way. And a lot of the time that stuckness just comes from like maybe too many options of something, or, you know, your needs haven't been met for too long. And so we're just settling, but like, that's a huge one. I can't say no. Nothing works for me. I self-sabotage. Like, those are a few of the identities that we see that we're able to just get people in the space where they can realize, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not stuck at all. And then that goes back to that quote you were saying about the caged bird with the open cage.
Why do you stay in their prison when the door is wide open?
Yeah. And it's because you believe so much that you can't move that you don't even notice the door's open.
Right.
And most of us,
Yes.
And so we talked about the identity piece of that, but I'll just kind of name a few things that hypnosis is used for and that we see in our office is like even people struggling with sleep. We work with people who are smoking. We work with more like relationships. So people pleasing or people having anxious thoughts, people struggling with public speaking, or we've even worked with college students on test taking.
Huge. Oh my God.
Huge. Right? We work with people on, of course, like substance abuse or binge eating or even just like self-confidence.
Yeah.
But really anything that you feel like you are struggling with or, you know, it could be as simple as I don't feel like myself, you know, it doesn't have to be like these diagnoses or anything that, you know.
How about fears? How about, so my wife, she used to fly. She in fact went through a period where she flew between DC and Rochester once a month, for years. She was one of the original telecommuters, way back in the day. And then as the kids came and we had these small kids, et cetera, we never had the desire to pile everybody on a plane and everybody's close to us. So we didn't need to. Right. Mm-hmm. But now she finds herself in a place where she cannot get on a plane.
Yeah.
And someone suggested hypnotherapy to her as being a modality that might be able to help with that.
Yes. And so, yes, fears and phobias are two that are something that we work with. And the reason that this works, and I'll just mention like three things like the, and look, I'm not a brain scientist, so I'm just going to kind of explain three little things that happen that will give the listeners some insight to like, oh, I understand like why that would help with phobias, you know? So the three things that happen, one is that we're able to focus, like when you're in this hypnotic state, you're able to focus inward and a part of your brain kind of turns down where like, say you're on social media and they put like some sound in there that makes you think that you should pay attention to that sound.
So, am I getting better?
Yes. So normally that sound would grab your attention. When you're in hypnosis, the part of your brain that grabs your attention to listen to that sound kind of decreases. And so you can focus inward. So that's one thing that happens. The other thing that happens, and this is what I'm talking about, the fear and phobias, is there is a higher functional conductivity between your critical thinking part of your brain and your insula, which is just the part of your brain that is the mind-body connection pathway. And so all that means is that you have a greater ability in hypnosis to control what's happening in your body. So in an hypnotic state, we would get your wife really calm and then we could actually visualize her flying. Mm-hmm. And we can, because you have more control, more mind control in hypnosis, because you can separate this emotional, these feelings that she might be having in her body mm-hmm. with the critical part of her brain, right? And so she can actually use body function, which in this case, we'd probably use breathing.
Okay.
To just sit with some of those feelings and experience it in a way that she's not really experiencing it because we were able to separate the brain from the body and kind of have a conversation with both of them separately and then now together. Does that make sense? You know?
I love it.
It's really simple. It's kind of like treating ourselves like if you were to walk a small child through something that was challenging.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like
yeah.
With that energy of like, hey, explaining like how this is going to happen. Oh, that is a very challenging thing. Let's breathe through it. What are you feeling? You know, it's
okay. Okay. I get it.
Like that, that
I like that analogy
and that calmness.
Yeah.
And we're really receptive to that. You know, I don't know where throughout life we were like, oh no, we're, you know, we're going to be so receptive if we just like this tough love, tough love, tough love, like our bodies, our nervous systems, our brains, like we're really not receptive to that type of communication. So then the last piece of this that happens is there's decreased activity in the default mode network of our brain. And that is just like what allows us to dissociate. So the part of our brain shuts down a little bit, the same thing that happens in meditation. And this is the part of the brain that just allows us to be less judgmental. So we're having this experience in our body, but we're not attached to it. So we're not judging it. We're not saying, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. And then we get caught up in all of that should and shouldn't. We're just able to look at this from like a third person view.
Okay.
And detached from it, let things kind of be as they are, right? And when things are as they are, this is kind of going full circle with the beginning of the episode, is you can just be curious. You know, it doesn't have to, we don't have to create this whole narrative around what all of this means. We can be curious.
Right.
And through that curiosity, have some understanding. And that's what Jen and I are trying to do here, is facilitate healing through us understanding ourselves and loving ourselves.
There you go. And non-judgmental and not assigning any meaning to it. Like,
right.
Yeah. 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 Well, so that brings us to the point where we're going to land this plane. All right. So tell us a little bit about some successes that you might've had. What kind of situations?
So we were talking about this, and it's really tough because I think that when we think of, because we work in weight loss, right. And we think that success is to a lot of people, like a number on the scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like first, I think we have to really redefine what success means, because this isn't a practice or a modality in which, like, you're not going to get one hypno session and like lose 25 pounds because you wanted weight loss and you did your hypno session on weight loss, right?
Right.
That doesn't determine success to us. Success in this means that understanding ourselves more and experiencing less suffering, and so that we can live our lives kind of from this place of potential instead of just continuously fighting against ourselves. And so that's some of the success. I'm going to kind of run you through two different scenarios we had. One was someone who just thought she was always self-sabotaging, and she like just had so many temptations, and she just wanted to know like what's preventing me from losing weight.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Like everyone.
Classic. Absolutely.
Classic. And so we went back in her session through the emotion, right? Through the feeling in the body. And it was something like when she was, you know, at a really young age, and look, I'm not going to give you like tons of details because this is people's personal stuff, and like that's not what we do. But basically, she wasn't allowed to make choices as a child, and so she didn't really get the practice and the experience of making these right and wrong choices. And so, as she grew up and as this adult, she didn't feel like she had the capacity or even the capability to make the right choice. And so in her head, it was always the wrong choice. And so, you know, that was one. And like to see her through her journey. And again, we have Idol Protein taking care of the metabolic piece of this, right? So she's continuing to lose the, you know, 3 to 5 pounds a week for females. But she's doing that as, like with more compassion. And so what goes up when we work from that space is we start to see results that are, consistent, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
There's more adherence to protocol because she is just, and I think this is the main part, like she doesn't have that internal struggle. Like it's not so damn hard.
Right.
Is this a deal? No way. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Yeah, making it harder than it has to be, right? Analysis paralysis, so to speak. Not being able to make that decision or that choice when it seems like it should be.
Exactly. And really, in her experience, what it's allowing her to do is like lessen the resistance.
Okay.
You know, and like, this is crazy. So this morning I read something that I had forgotten about, and it was like pain times resistance equals suffering. Right. And so like what we're really trying to do is lessen our suffering, especially if we're trying to get something done. Right. Because who wants to, it's really hard when you're suffering to get something done. But if the resistance is zero, anything times zero is zero. Okay. So you could have pain, which is at a level 100 times the resistance, which is at zero.
Zero.
That suffering is going to be brought down to zero because we can just feel what needs to be felt, you know, and not add to it, not create suffering by resisting. Anyway, with her experience, I think that was the success.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
And
I was going to say, I read that same thing this morning. You know where I read it?
Where did you read it?
Your Facebook story. I'm like literally going, where did I see that this morning? Oh my God, I saw that this morning. Oh, there it is.
Isn't that so good?
Yeah.
And I want to just close by saying, like, you guys, we're all going through our own journeys and we all have so much wisdom inside of us. And you don't have to share your journey, but and I try to be really transparent through an online presence and as a coach and a clinic owner. Well, like usually if there's something out there that inspires you, maybe it's self-created or maybe it's something that you see on a bumper sticker or just anything, like don't be afraid to share that because we are all so connected that it will probably enhance someone else's life in the same way that it enhances your life. And it's just like we talked about earlier, like I think most rewarding way, and I really think the fastest way to success is to help someone find that success. So don't be afraid to share who you are and what inspires you, because I promise you people are watching and they might be doing so quietly, but what you're doing and what you're aspiring to do is challenging and you don't have to do it alone. So share it, you know, help others help you.
And you know, that's the thing too, right? And when people see you doing that on a consistent basis, I think somehow that might translate to giving them permission to do the same.
Of course.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so powerful.
And that's why we want to share. That's why we want to share hypnotherapy, is because imagine a world. I just like heard that. Imagine a world.
I was just going to say, right.
Where we all existed and operated from a place of love. And from, you know, imagine a world where we all gave each other the permission to have self-love, have compassion, and operate from that pure, just that light from within. And so I hope, you know, if you are at all curious about, if you have any questions about this podcast, anything I said, if you just want to call and chat, like, please hit us up at MBS Wellness. You can call or text us. I'll make sure that John has all of our social media handles that we can put out there. Our phone number is 720-600-8283. Or you can go online to our website at mbswellnessip.com. And we have like a link for a free consultation. Like, give us a call. Talk to us about this. If you're a clinic owner and you're interested in having this in your practice, we're happy to give you an extremely discounted session with money back guarantee. Like, you won't even need to explain why you don't think it helped, but we just believe in this so much that we want people to experience it so that hopefully it'll ripple out into your life. And as crazy and and as ambitious as this seems, like, change the world. We believe in it that much that we think, you know, by changing ourselves, we change the world. And that's what we're really aiming to do. So please give us a call with any questions.
I don't think we can improve on that ending. Cool. I literally changing the world, I think, kind of.
Right. Like maybe we should just stop at changing the world, right?
That's right where we want to land, right? And I love that because I do. I feel like that captures the spirit of who you are. And
thanks, John.
What you kind of feel like your mission is. Right back at you. It's literally, that's what I see when I see what you're doing. And you're always just trying to change the world. So never stop it. All right. Never stop it.
I'm learning from the best.
We are so excited and proud to have you as a big part of Ideal Protein Nation. And, I know that this episode is going to change lives. So thank you so much, Allison.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I have a feeling like somewhere deep inside that this is not going to be the last episode that you're on. I'm sure we're going to find other reasons and other ways to get you on the show. Like I said, changing the world.
All right. See you soon. And look, anytime, you know, I'm chatty, so call me back anytime. I love having these conversations with you. So, really, thank you for having me. Thank you for being open-minded and listening to, your heart on this. Cause I saw it in there.
Yeah. You know, my heart has a lot of steel around it, and I need to work on that. I'm too rigid.
Hey, we all do. And you're not too much of anything. You're perfect the way you are. All right. So I'll see you next time.
We're definitely ending on that note. See ya. All right, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, that episode certainly did not disappoint. There's some really deep and some really great stuff in there. I hope that you listen to this episode, and I hope that it inspires you to consider this modality that really could be life-changing. Just as much as the Ideal Protein Nutritional Protocol is life-changing from a metabolic physiologic standpoint, we talk about resetting your body, resetting your mind. This might be the answer for people who have just had the hardest time with that piece of it. So please, Allison gave her number and you can look her up online. Definitely follow up with that if that's something that speaks to your heart. So as always, I'm going to ask you to share on your social media, subscribe to the Life Possible podcast. The video is on Facebook and on YouTube, and the audio is anywhere where you can download audio podcasts. So, thank you so much for being with us today. I look forward to bringing you some great episodes in the coming weeks. And as always, keep reaching for your Life Possible.